read New Theory, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Numbers 2, 1 capital verse. What is not start our ministry is a ministry of the Spirit. Ministries of the Spirit. We'll be talking about the offices, the gift ministries, the gifts of the Spirit, the fruits, the manifestations. This will not be a real academic study. I will be omitting a great deal of information that you would get normally in a Bible college course on these subjects. We will not be going through every facet and studying every phase of it, and not necessarily going to bring it all in rigid form, but an outline that we do want to bring some of the truths concerning the work of God, the offices that God has set in His body, and the gifts that God has set in operation. And I want to fortify, help you to be fortified in God's word against some of the ideas that are being spread abroad, because many of these ideas are not do not have a sound biblical basis. There's a lot of confusion out in the spirit-filled world. We're living in a charismatic age. A lot of people are getting baptized in the Holy Spirit, and the world is full of babes, and a lot of babes doing a lot of teaching. And there are a lot of people that are new in the ministers that are new in this business, and they pick up a lot of erroneous ideas before they were spirit-filled, and they're continuing to pass them on. But I think there's some things here that we can see that will enable us to have a proper understanding of the gifts of God. After all, if we're going to expect the gifts to be in operation, and we're going to further appreciate the ministries that God has given and the offices, and we're moving the last day move of God and the revelation of the Spirit of God, I think it behooves us to know and understand the ministries of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting with verse 1, we read now concerning spiritual gifts. The Greek doesn't have the word gift, it has the word spiritual. The implication being, as some many sources say, things, in other words, a wider scope than just gifts, because he's talking about gifts, he's talking about ministries, he's talking about manifestations. Things of the Spirit, in other words. Now, concerning things of the Spirit, I would not have you to be ignorant. God does not want us to be ignorant about spiritual matters and the spiritual gifts and the moving of the Spirit of God, because these are all things that God, these are gifts that God gives to the body, and if we're ignorant, then we will not operate them according to the will of God, and they will not function according to His will, and will not bring forth the desired results that God has desired in His body. It says in verse 5, no differences of administrations, but it's the same law. Differences of administrations, but the same law. Rockingham, Kenneth Lee, Speak Word Studies, and some others say ministry instead of administrations. To administer, or ministry. Ministry is in there, administrations. There are differences of ministries, but it's the same law. We find in verse 4 there are differences of gifts, but it's the same Spirit. The only differences of gifts, the differences of ministries. And we find that the latter part of this chapter deals with the body, which has many members, and each one has a particular function and been placed in the body as God wills. Now, one question that comes up immediately is, are these gifts of the Spirit resident gifts, or are they temporary endowments? That is, do these gifts reside in us, in the believer? Now, there are differences of opinion by people out in the spiritual world concerning this, and should not be, because I'm concerned it's as clear as a bell. But many people teach and think that here are the gifts. God owns the gifts. The gifts are given to the church, and the church can operate, any individual can operate any gift that God desires to plant them anytime, and that they're all right here for him. There's one particular girl that I heard of that she would just newly filled, and she'd kind of wake up in the morning and so I said, well, now see what gift do I have today. See? And as though God continually changes the gift within them. And so there are people who feel like that. Now, folks, we've all got all the gifts. Because, I mean, after all, the Holy Ghost has got the gifts, and we're here. And so just feel free to operate all the gifts and any gifts and any time you, according to proportion of faith, like it says in Romans. So, therefore, if you've got faith for any gift, well, go ahead. God will back it up. And let's just be free and let the Lord. But it doesn't happen that way, we find out. And it doesn't. And it's not a sound biblical doctrine. These are not temporary endowments, but these are resident gifts. That is, they are resident within you. That is, they reside in you. When God gives you a gift, that is your gift. He doesn't give you a gift, take it away, give you a different gift, take it away, and give you a different gift. He gives you one gift, and that's your gift. He may give you two gifts, and they'll be your gifts. It's not to say that if you don't work the gifts, he may never take them away. It's not to say that he may never use you in another way, even on a temporary basis, because God is not bound. God can certainly give anyone a temporary endowment at any particular time. And he does at times. That's his business. But there is such a thing as a resident gift. And we see this in operation. For example, if you see that if God has given Charles Price or William Branham or Oral Roberts or Brother Jenkins or others in these lines, Wigglesworth, a gift of healing, they're used for healing over and over and over again. God has given Brother Jerome the gift of healing, and he doesn't do healing one day, prophecy the next day, tongues the next day, interpretation the next day, gift of miracles the next day, faith the next day, and wisdom the next day, and word of knowledge the next day. He operates in the gift that God gave him. It's a resident gift. It's in him. He can expect, as he goes out and ministers, he doesn't go out to a hospital and say, now, I wonder if God's going to pull that gift back today and use a different one. And he goes out to the hospital, he knows it's a resident gift, and God will operate that gift within him. And so, my wife gives messages in tongues. God, it's a resident gift. It's resident. It's there. Just like you speak in tongues. It's resident. It's there. And we'll clear up that mystery in a moment, in case I'm confusing some of you. Because that is a gift, all right, but it's not a gift ministry. Now, you see, we're talking about gifts, gift ministry. There's a difference. In offices, everybody who prophesies, now prophecy is a gift. It's a gift ministry. But it's not an office. Everybody who prophesies is not a prophet. But all prophets prophesy. Prophet is an office. There are five, several offices, four offices actually in Greek, there are four offices. There's apostle, prophet, evangelist, and pastor and teacher. But then there are gifts of the Spirit. There's a gift of the word of knowledge, the gift of the word of wisdom. There's a gift of faith. There's a gift of healings and gift of miracles. There's a gift of interpretation of tongues, gift of tongues. There's a gift of prophecy. And you see, there are gifts, and these are gift ministries. That is, they minister to the body. These are gifts because you don't earn them. You haven't developed them. They're given from God, so they are a gift. They are a gift ministry because you minister to the body with them. You minister through all these gifts. Now, an office is a position you hold. You are an apostle. Now, you are not an gift of tongues. See, that's not an office. That's a ministry. But there's an office of apostle. Apostles teach. He is a teacher. He prophesies. He speaks in tongues. He operates these ministries. A prophet prophesies. A prophet teaches. He's a teacher. You see? As well as one who prophesies. Everyone who prophesies is not a prophet. Everyone who heals is not an apostle. Now, gifts, or speaking in tongues is a gift of the Spirit. It's a gift. You didn't earn it, did you? How'd you get it? Well, it's a gift. But praying in tongues privately is a gift. It is not listed as one of these nine gifts because these nine gifts he's mentioning are gift ministries. All these gifts here are ministries to the body. And the 12th and 13th and 14th chapters of 1 Corinthians speak about body ministry. And so they're ministries. Praying in tongues is not a ministry to the body. He that speaketh in tongues, prays in tongues, edifieth himself. 1 Corinthians 14 and 2. But it is a gift. Speaking in tongues is certainly a gift. You have not earned it. You have not developed it. It is a gift, but it's not a gift ministry. Manifestations of the Spirit are those things which are manifest. The speaking in tongues is a manifestation. Clapping your hands is a manifestation of the joy within you. The smile on your face and the sunburst that comes from your face to the glory of God is a manifestation of the glory that's within you. So anything that's done outwardly that manifests what God's doing inwardly is a manifestation of the Spirit. Fruits of the Spirit are these things that grow on the spiritual tree, on your tree. Love, joy, peace, and so forth. They are fruits. They are things that will automatically develop. Sometimes converts are described also as fruits. To bring in more fruit, people become fruit on the tree as well in some scriptures. Now, God does give a resident gift, and it's His will that each of the members of the body of Christ have a ministry within that body. And He has enumerated a number of ministries in this chapter. And the first thing I want to prove to you, so that you will know it and know the biblical truth, is that these gifts are indeed resident gifts, because lots and lots and lots of people out here saying, oh no, it's just everybody has all of them and all for everyone. Now, in verse 11, we read, but all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as He will. Now, to every man, the Greek says each. It's a little better. It means the same to every person, but the Greek is more individual, to each person. The word man is not in the Greek. It doesn't say to every man. It says, the Greek says, dividing to each person, man or woman, severally. Now, this word severally does not mean several. It means individual. Webster's dictionary says severally means separately, differently, individually, singly, peculiar, distinct. This word severally does not mean several. Severally means individually. Rotherham translates it, distributing unto each one peculiarly. Webster says that peculiarly means belonging to an individual, privately owned, characteristic of one only, that is one person only. Now, Kenneth Reist translates this, dividing into each one separately. Darby's translation, dividing to each one in particular. Berkeley says, distributing to each one individually. The RSV says apportions to each one individually. New World says distribution to each one respectively. But each one is giving the same truth. It's to each one, and it's an individual. So God gives these gifts to each one separately. He gives them to each one separately. It's a resident gift. He gives it one to you and one to you. In fact, this word, the Greek word here, idia, separately, privately owned, for oneself, is from idios, meaning one's own, or personal, or private ownership. Now, we can see that this thing is so, the way he gives it in starting with verse 8. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues, you see. Now, let's look at verse 30 and 31. We see the same truth given here. This truth is strengthened Because he says, are all apostles, that's a ministry, are all prophets, are all teachers, those are ministry, offices. He's saying, do all have the same office? Then he says, are all workers of miracles? Now he moves into gifts. Do all have the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? And so he shows you here, by inference, that one person does not have all the gifts. No one person does not have all the office. You are not an apostle, a prophet, and a teacher at the same time. Now, you may be a teacher. If you're a prophet, you may be a teacher, but you don't hold the office of a teacher. You hold the office of a prophet, but you teach. That's one of your ministries. You also do other things, but you don't hold both offices at the same time. You're either a prophet or you're a teacher as far as office. Gifts of the Spirit. Do all have the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? No. Don't all speak with tongues. Now, those who have not been baptized in the Holy Spirit, and particularly hunting for something to try to get away from the truth about every baptized believer being able to pray in tongues, which every baptized believer can. It's a sign, first of all, that you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. And people say, well, do you have to speak in tongues to be filled with the Holy Ghost? I said, no, it's not that you have to be filled to be speak in tongues to be filled, but if when you're filled, you will speak in tongues. It's the sign, that's all. And God was faithful to give the sign, that's all, when he baptizes you. It's not that you got to do this to get the Holy Ghost. You know, it isn't something you do to get the Holy Ghost. It's something that you do after you get the Holy Ghost. He's faithful to give you the sign. He doesn't pull the sign back and leave you without the sign. Even if you're so ignorant that you don't want the sign and don't realize the benefit, if he baptizes you, he still backs it up with a sign. Now, they like to quote this scripture and say, well, you see, here it says, do all speak with tongues. It's not talking about praying in the Spirit. In fact, he says in another scripture that we can all speak with tongues. And we find that on the day of Pentecost, they were all speaking in tongues. At the house of Cornelius, they all spoke in tongues. At Ephesus, they all spoke in tongues. It wasn't 10% got tongues with it. I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and 10% got tongues, and 90% got something different. No, they all got tongues as a sign in every case. At Cornelius, he was preaching where, yes, priests, the Holy Ghost fell upon him. How do they know? For they heard them speak with tongues. See, they heard them speak with tongues. That was their evidence. Now, this is talking in Corinthians about something entirely different than the book of Acts. The book of Acts is an account of people being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Therefore, you see him speaking in tongues. This is about gift ministries, and it's talking about as a ministry, we don't all speak with tongues. You don't all get up in the assembly and speak in tongues. This is body ministry. This is in the church. That's what these things are for. That each one, the whole idea of chapter 12 is the body. See? And for by one Spirit we all baptized into one body. Verse 14, for the body is not one member but many. Take with the foot and the ear and the whole body in verse 17, and God has set in the members, every one of them in the body, verse 18. And verse 19, they were all one member, however, with the body, you see. Verse 20, but now there are many members, but yet one body. The whole thing is body ministry. The whole thing means in the assembly. It's a ministry that each one may profit. So it's not talking about praying in other tongues. Now, we find out in verse 31, he says, but covet earnestly the best gifts. And yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Now, if everybody's got all the gifts, how can you covet the best gifts? That presupposes that there will be some gifts you won't have. We find also in chapter 14, verses 27 and 28. I think what I really want is verse 26. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one, and the Greek is each one of you, that is individually, hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. He's not saying when you come together, every single one of you has a psalm, everyone has a doctrine, everyone has a tongue, everyone has a revelation, everyone has an interpretation. That's never been done. I never saw an assembly in my whole life where everybody had an interpretation. But he's saying each one, they come together as individual, because he just got through telling you, one's an ear, one's a foot, one's a hand. You each have a job to do. And so when you come together, one of you has a song. One of you has a revelation to show. One of you has an interpretation in tongues, so forth. And so there again we see each one has a particular and peculiar ministry. Now, God can operate through anyone to fulfill a need, a particular gift that he may never use you with again. If you're in a particular assembly and there's no one there with that particular gift and he wants to use it, and he does not wish to give you a resident gift ministry, he may use you once for that, never again. That's very possible. But we see anyone who has been in the move of God for very long sees that these scriptures are fulfilled in resident gift ministries. You see people, whatever gift he gives you is used over and over. Don't we see that? Over and over again, that particular gift ministry he uses. He doesn't use this person for a ministry and song one day and use me the next day, you see. That would be horrible, see. God uses what you've got. And now, we come to another question here. I do want to say this first, though. The gifts of the Spirit are indeed limited to Spirit-filled people. People who are not Spirit-filled do not operate these nine gifts. God does not give them the word of knowledge, because knowledge and the word of knowledge are two different things. He does not give them the word of wisdom, and that did not mean earthly accumulated wisdom. This is a flash revelation from without. He does not use them in any of these ministries of speaking in tongues, or interpretation of tongues, or prophecy. No non-Spirit-filled person that you've ever seen. I never saw a person prophesy, speak in tongues, or interpret, who hasn't been baptized in the Holy Spirit, speak in tongues. And if I ever did, I'd know it to be false. These are for Spirit-filled people. Spirit-filled people operate the spiritual gifts. But the fruits of the Spirit, as we see in Galatians 5, just turn there for a moment, we're going to come right back. The fruits of the Spirit are not limited to Spirit-filled people. But they operate greater in Spirit-filled people, of course. So people say, well, how about the fruits of the Spirit? You have to be baptized in the Holy Spirit to have it? Well, of course not. We find in verse 22, he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. Do you believe after you come to Jesus Christ that you should not be able to manifest love? Of course you should have love. After you're a new creation, you should have the love of God shed abroad in your hearts. But when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, remember, is God dwelling in you. Jesus said before he went away, by sending the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, Comforter which is the Holy Ghost, he said, he is now with you, but shall be in you. He came upon Elijah, and he gave mighty things. He came, and then next thing you know, he had withdrawn himself, down by the brook Cherith crying, asking to have his life taken away. Now, the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you and anoint you beforehand. But then when he sets up a resident within you, there is a continuation. He's with you in a more constant way. Same Holy Spirit can do the same thing. The disciples, before they were baptized in the Holy Spirit, the day of Pentecost, he gave them power to go out, the apostles, the 12, to lay hands on the sick and to heal the sick and to cast out demons. He gave them individual special power. Now, non-spirit-filled people can pray for healing for people. And they can be healed. Because the healing is part of the atonement. By his stripes you were healed. But, so you can pray for people as an individual basis. But the gift of healing he gives to those who baptized in the Holy Spirit. Spirit-filled people, naturally, because the Spirit is moving in them, that is, if you allow the Spirit, once he has filled you, if you keep filled with the Spirit, like it says in Ephesians 5:18, keeping constantly full of the Spirit, if you keep full of the Spirit, then the Holy Spirit will work in you and deepen your love for God, your dedication, and your ministries, and so you will have more love. But you can't expect to speak in tongues before you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. I never saw a person in my life ever speak in tongues and claim he wasn't baptized in the Holy Spirit. Joy. You should have joy right after salvation. You jump up in the altar, praise God, I'm a brand new man. Praise the Lord, he's forgiven my sins. Of course, the joy is right there. But when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you get more joy. And so it's true with peace. There's a peace in your heart when you know that your sins are forgiven and your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But the peace increases because the Bible talks about the joy and the peace in the Holy Spirit. There's an increase of peace that comes when the Holy Spirit himself, God himself, is working in you in a greater measure. And this is true with long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith, meekness, and temperance, All these things are things that should be there immediately after conversion, but they should be strengthened all during your conversion life. They should become more and more fruitful. And when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, and they should be even more evident. And as you continue to walk in the Spirit, they should be more in evidence. And as you more you die to self, they should be more in evidence. The fruits of the Spirit should always be there. All right, now, having the gifts of the Spirit, let's go back to 1 Corinthians 12. The gifts of the Spirit do not presuppose that you're spiritual. Some people get themselves in quite a perplexity. They say, well, you know, I don't understand it. That person speaks in tongues in the service. It gives a message in tongues. So that person has a particular ministry. And I saw him do some things. I heard him say some things. It certainly wasn't Christ-like. He did some things that, well, he's not as spiritual as somebody else I know, and he doesn't have a gift. Well, gifts and ministries are not given to you because you're spiritual. They're given to you to make the body spiritual. They're not given to you because you're perfect. They're for the perfection of the saints, not because the saints are perfect. A gift of God does not mean that you are spiritual or any more spiritual than anybody else. As a matter of fact, there are some gifts that God does not give to people that are not very spiritual. There are some gifts God does not give to new babes. You rarely see any new babe with them. And these are gifts of miracles, gifts of wisdom, gift of the word of knowledge. But they're all gifts that God gives to brand new babes. These gifts are generally speaking in tongues, the gift of tongues, the gift of interpretation of tongues. Primarily these two. And you find brand new babes. He may only be 3 weeks old in the Lord. He may have all kinds of things to get straightened out in his life yet. Yet God will start using him and speaking in tongues. It doesn't mean that he's spiritual at all. Just like praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues does not mean that you're spiritual. You can't get down and pray in tongues and say, oh, good. I did some terrible sins. I thought maybe God was mad at me, but I spoke in tongues and everything's okay. I know now that God, I'm all right. No, that doesn't mean that at all. He may be interceding for you because of your sins. Speaking in tongues only means that God has set up a resident within you, and he's not going to kick you out of the house every time you make a mistake. You're still a child of God, and he is interceding. He's working with you. He is faithful as you put yourself out on the limb. Every time you speak in tongues, it's an act of faith. Because the utterance belongs to God. God doesn't speak in tongues. In Acts 2:4, when the Holy Ghost came upon them, and they spoke in tongues as the Holy Ghost gave the utterance. The men spoke in tongues, the Holy Ghost gave the utterance. We speak in tongues. We use our lips, our tongues, our voice, sparks, our lungs, our own volition. Remember, the spirit of the prophet is subject, I mean, the prophet is subject to under the prophet. You can stop speaking in tongues whenever you want. Well, I can stop whenever I want. And I can start when I want. I should be so confused. Well, I can speak in tongues whenever I want to. I don't even necessarily have to be caught away in the glory. I can just be, you know, out here, or I can be riding a bus and start speaking in tongues. Do anything. Well, of course. Because it doesn't mean you're spiritual. It doesn't mean you think about spiritual things. But it's an act of faith, because you have no idea what utterances are going to come. And you can't bring these utterances. When you start out to bring something by volition, and you're going to have this trust God, he's going to back it up. And every time he does, he backs it up on the first word. He never lets you down. You know why? Your faith is so perfect. Your faith is so perfect. Well, I don't have any trouble speaking in tongues. But now there are people who don't have perfect faith. When they're first starting out, they have a hard time speaking in tongues. Because they have some doubts in their mind, and they're not yielding, and they have a hard time. And they say, well, you know, just go. You try to encourage the faith. Just speak it out. What are you saying? Exercise faith, brother. The Holy Spirit is upon you. Exercise faith. Go ahead and start letting your tongue yield to the Spirit. Start and let the Holy Ghost take it and articulate with it like he wants to. Because you're giving a staccato, you're doing a stammer, you're going da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and you can't even speak in tongues. You say, well, I can't. Well, if it's so easy, how come you can't? Because he doesn't have, as soon as he begins to relax and have faith in God, then he yields his tongue. You see, because God can't use him, when he won't yield it, God can't make the sounds that he wants.
And as soon as he yields himself, that's faith, is right there. And so after a while, you get to recognize that God will back you up every single time. So you go start right out, and sure enough, on the very first word, it's right there. I know people who have gotten to a state where they've kind of backslid and got obsessed with God, and they tried to speak in tongues, and they couldn't speak in tongues. And it was so simple, they thought, well, surely it's me, because it's so easy, I can do it any time. I can be thinking about any old thing. So how come I can be thinking about sailboating and speaking tongues? Well, don't you know that the Spirit is interceding for your spirit and it bypasses your mind? And your mind isn't even involved. Your mind isn't involved, is it? That's why your mind can wander. Because your mind isn't on the subject. Your mind is not caught up in anything. You know, your child comes to a service and the pastor's preaching and he's thinking about everything else. You know why? Because the words are so difficult, it's difficult for him to keep his mind on the subject being preached because the words are full and the concepts are above his ability. So his mind wanders very easily. But if you write, and if somebody's preaching over your head, it's easy to let your mind wander. If he's speaking in German with a broken accent, you can hardly understand him, or any other language, it's easy to let your mind wander. If he's speaking too low, it's easy to let your mind wander. But if it's forceful, it's clear, it's plain, it's interesting, your mind will keep right on it. When the Holy Spirit bypasses your mind, when he speaks in tongues, that your mind might not get involved with the prayer because he wants to intercede for your spirit and for your needs. As you exercise the act of faith, he bypasses the mind, and the mind can wander. Now, it shouldn't wander. It should be kept upon the Lord. But nevertheless, the mind can wander because the mind isn't occupied with those thoughts. He doesn't know what the Holy Spirit is even saying. But it's still the Holy Ghost. It doesn't mean, you say, well, it's me. Well, you're talking, sure, but it's still him giving the utterance. And I think if we can learn in all spiritual gifts, prophecy, speaking in tongues, and everything else in our life, if we can have the same faith that we exercise in speaking in tongues, we get results like that too. We give a lot more results. Now, it's not the only criteria, but it's certainly one of the major ones. So gifts do not mean that you're spiritual. A person can let the old flesh rise up, but God... Now, it's true that if you will not walk with God, and you continually walk in sin and so forth, there'll come a time when God will pull back the gift. But the gift is for the body. God exercises the gift not because of you, but because of the need of the whole body. Now, some of the reasons for the gifts of the Spirit are that it might glorify God. He gives gifts to the body that for the glory of God, that God might be glorified in it. We might praise the Lord. You notice in gifts in operation, there's praising God. That brings praise to him. Another reason that he gives gifts to the body is to meet the needs of men. There are men that are sick. There are men that need direction, discernment, and so forth. We have needs in the body. So gifts are to meet the needs of men, but they're also to glorify God. Gifts are also given to the body as signs. They are evidence and signs to the body that, and to other churches and to unbelievers that God is in them of a truth, that God, this is God's people. They are God's people. God is working in them. They're moving for God. They're yielding to God. God is working here. God is moving in them. It's a sign that they're God's people. God also gives gifts of the Spirit to the body to bring the body of Christ into maturity. We need to grow up in him. And we cannot do it with our own facilities and our own efforts. And so God has to intervene by supernatural powers and with his own wisdom and his own knowledge and his own power to enhance and supplement what we've got and to energize us that we might come into perfection, because we'll never come into perfection without the power and the energies of God. We'll never do it on our own. You'll never do it with your own decisions and your own desires and your own determinations. It takes the gift of God to set the body straight and to purge and to build and to teach and so forth. Now, gifts of the Spirit to the body bring to the body supernatural knowledge. You see, the gifts of tongues, and interpretation together, the gifts of prophecy, the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, they're bringing supernatural knowledge. They're bringing knowledge above the normal, a supra knowledge, a knowledge of the future. A knowledge of what God is going to do, how to do, what God's mind is, what his heart is. People who are in bodies that do not have the gifts of the Spirit in operation, they don't understand the same spiritual depths and truths and verities. They don't understand the heart of God like those that the spiritual gifts are moving in. They don't understand the future. They don't understand the heart of what God is trying to do in this day and age. That's why so many of them are sleeping, not moving in the way of God is. They don't have the spiritual gifts in them. You know, to challenge them, to teach them, and bring you supernatural knowledge. The gifts of the Spirit also bring supernatural utterance to the assembly. You can utter things supernaturally. You can talk above yourself. Thus saith the Lord. You are saying things you don't even know. You're learning them the first time that you're saying them, same as everybody else is. Gifts of the body also bring supernatural power to the assembly. Legs are straightened. People are healed. There's a power of conviction of resting upon people. Power a conviction that would change the sinner and make him come and lay himself at the altar before God. You see. So gifts of the body bring supernatural knowledge, supernatural utterance, and supernatural power to the body. Now the Holy Spirit uses what you have. Not what you haven't got, but what you do have. There are people that teach erroneously that it doesn't make any difference what you are or what you have. The Holy Ghost comes in and he'll give you whatever you need, and he'll change you to whatever he wants, and it doesn't make any difference. But that's not true. And anybody who's been in the ministry for any length of time and has been around knows better than this. And I've heard men of God who've got great reputations, I've heard some of them tell me, and men who've got teaching ministries and apostolic ministries and pastoral ministries and so forth, tell me, well, you know, they never will amount to much. These certain people in the Lord, or these people, these certain people, what they are, God can never use them in certain ways because of what they are or what they aren't. Or God can use that person, but there's a person that God can really use. What do you say that for? If they're all the same, they learn in time that God uses what you've got. Now, it's true that God enhances whatever you've got. It's also true that he can give you something that you don't have. He can make you something that you're not. Now, that's true. He can make you something that you're not. But you'll find that he expands you in the direction of your own personality and your own talents. It's very rare. It happens. But it's very rare that God takes people who have who are tone deaf and can't tell the difference between different tones and so forth and can't carry a tune, and uses them for music ministry. It just doesn't happen. God takes people that have musical abilities and uses them for music ministry. The Holy Spirit will anoint the talent, God-given talent, in that line. If you're analytical, if you've got a sharp mind and a ready speech, God anoints you and will lead you into a ministry to speak and to teach. It's very seldom that God would take somebody who's slow of speech, who can't speak, stutters, he didn't have an analytical mind, he can't keep things and concepts straight and so forth, and make him a scholar or a teacher. He may use him. See, God can use everybody to teach, but not as an office of a teacher. He's going to be teaching hippies out here, teaching coal miners. But to be a teacher in the body where you are teaching others who are teaching all the flock out here, the Bible says, be not many teachers. And yet he says everyone is to be a witness and everyone should go out and preach. So what he means is everybody try to fill the office of a teacher in the assembly, but everybody go out and minister and bring the word to teach the ignorant and the unlearned and the unsaved and the new converts. And so if you've got a particular mind that's sharp and analytical, and you have good logical abilities, the Holy Spirit will anoint your mind and your ready mind, your ready utterance, and call you into a teaching in Bible college, for example. But the person who can't think he gets low grades and he can't keep concepts and things straight and analytical and so forth, think that way, God doesn't usually call him to that ministry, but he calls him to another ministry. And there are people that are simple that just seem to have. They yield easily. Well, that's a wonderful person for the Holy Spirit to work upon for intercessory ministries and gifts of healing, because they yield easily. They just got that ability. Well, maybe this person's got a scholarly mind. He has a harder time yielding. And maybe he's too rationalistic. And he has to get over that. But nevertheless, God anoints what you've got. And if you're artistic, he may anoint you in artistic ministries. God can use God is the author of talents, of music, and of art.
art is not an evil man-made thing we should get away from. It had no use in the ministry. You say, well, I guess God has no use for my artistic ability. Not true at all. You have all kinds of things you need to design for the church and in the church and publications and so forth. God needs artistic abilities. He needs musical abilities. He needs all every kind of ability. People that are friendly and people that are set and determined. And he needs people that are peacemakers. And he needs all kinds of people. He needs people that are soft and kind and people that have got hearts for other people. And the Lord will anoint whatever you've got. He says that if you're weary and heavy laden, come to him, he'll give you rest. He said, take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy. And the yoke is to be used out in the harvest field. This is the work of God. And the Greek says, my yoke fits. He tailor makes the yoke to fit you. God will use what you've got. God used Paul in ways God could never use Peter. Paul was highly educated, knew several languages. How did God use Paul? Well, he knew Greek, Attic Greek. He knew Roman language, the Latin language. He knew Aramaic. He knew Hebrew. So he called him to preach to the Hebrews. He called him to preach to the Greeks. He called him to preach to the Romans. He didn't call Peter to preach to the Greeks and the Romans and other things. Peter knew Aramaic, knew Koine Greek, the everyday Greek. So God called him to preach in Babylon, where the Jews remained. Then he came back from the exile and Palestine and places. He used him in where they spoke Aramaic. God couldn't use them out in other areas. Oh, he could give them these other languages, but God seldom does. Now, these nine gifts are generally classified in three groups. There are gifts of revelation, discerning of spirits. See, it's a revelation, a discerning of spirit, the gift of the word of wisdom, the gift of the word of knowledge. And then there are gifts of power. There are gifts of faith, and with power, gifts of healing, and the gifts of miracles. They are power gifts. And then there are gifts of utterance, gift of speaking in tongues, gift of interpretation of tongues, the gift of prophecy. Now, one more thing I want to get here, if I can, before we quit, is in 1 Corinthians 12:31, we read, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way. Some people are confused with this. They say, oh, well, some gifts are better than the others. That means? No, it doesn't mean that some gifts are the better than the other. Find out which is the best one, and everybody gets the best one. That interpretation is contrary to the whole chapter. He just got through saying, well, what if everybody were an eye? Where were the hearing? What if everybody were an ear? Where were the smelling or the seeing? Everybody were the mouth, see? And therefore, God can't give, God did not want everybody to be a mouth. Well, now you say, well, what's the best? Well, that's the mouth. Everybody seeks the best gifts. That's the mouth. And then where were the hands? That is a distorted body. God does not mean there is the best gift. Everybody get that one, forget the others. But some people teach that, particularly so they can discredit tongues. That's the least. And they say, because tongues is mentioned last, therefore it's the least. And next session we're going to get into this, the tongues being the least. I'm going to show you how foolish that argument is. By Scripture, I'm going to show you that it doesn't hold at all. And that God says the best gift, what is the best gift? The best gift for you is the gift that fits you, and a gift that can be used the best in the body where you are at that particular time. Isn't that the best gift? Let's supposing that 50 people got the gift of speaking in tongues. The best gift for you is not speaking in tongues. Everybody else has got the gift. That one helps in the body. That isn't the best gift. We need something else. We might need an interpretation of tongues, huh? That would not be the best gift. And the best gift is the best gift for you to exercise in the body. Now, people say, well, that says seek the best gift. Well, I want this gift, Lord. How do you seek the best gift? How do I know which gift to seek? He never said you had to know which gift to seek. He never said take a particular... Well, how do I seek the best gift then? Notice it says in 1 Corinthians 12:11, but all these worketh that one and the self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as what? What is it? He will. He divides as he will. To one he gives, he divides as he wills. It's not your will. Well, I would like
to have gift of miracles. Why? Well, the truth is, well, so people can see how great I am. Well, then and that's not the best gift for you. It'll ruin you. A gift that will ruin you because of your ego is not the best gift, of course. You say, well, how do you seek the best gifts? Well, you do it this way. Lord, you're the dispenser of the gifts. You know what this body needs. Lord, not my will. I want the gift of miracles. I want power gifts. But Lord, I want the best gift for me. The best gift for this assembly, for my ministry. Lord, I do want to exercise the gift of God for the ministry. I want to be a worker together. Not for myself, Lord. Lord, if I have anything in me that wants to have gifts so that I can be great, then I know you can't use me, Lord. It'll ruin me. So, Lord, I seek to be humble, to die to self, to be nothing, and to exercise these gifts for the body ministry, because the gifts can ruin me, but they edify others. And so, Lord, give me the best gift. You know the best gift, Lord. I don't know the best gift, but I am seeking the best gift, and you know it. And whatever gift is best for me, Lord, grant unto me. Seek the best gift. Don't just seek the gift that you want, or one that you think that might do you well. We have a couple minutes yet to the last bell, huh? That was the first bell, was it? Is that the last bell? Okay. Now, best gift. Look at Hebrews 2:4. I'm not going to get through with this part of it. I got a number of scriptures to bring in this to prove this. Hebrews 2:4. We'll continue next time. Give you just a moment to find it. God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles, and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. Gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. Now, in 1 Corinthians 14:1, he says, follow after love, charity, and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. Now, he's not saying, I want you to have spiritual gifts, but I would rather that you prophesy. Because prophesy is a spiritual gift. So how come he says, desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you prophesy, rather would mean that prophecy was not a spiritual gift, if you interpret it that way, but that's not what he's saying. Some people interpret this way. Those who have not been filled with the Holy Ghost like to interpret this way, 12:31. But covet earnestly the best gift, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way, and then they give a chapter 13 love. So, but God is saying, as they make it read, seek the best gift. However, there's a lot better way. Just forget about all that. Seek love. Well, why did he say the other then? Why did he say, seek the best gift, and now forget everything I said. Seek love instead. But we notice in chapter 14, verse 1, follow after charity. The Greek is pursue it as in a veritable chase, and strongly desire, the Greek says, spiritual gifts. You're supposed to follow after love and also to desire spiritual gifts. He said, well, and. He didn't say instead of. So he does want us, love must be the basis of all gifts. And we see that in chapter 13. But he wants us to have the gifts of the Spirit, and yet there's a more excellent way through love to these spiritual gifts. And we'll just kind of open the door to this subject right now and to this question. But we'll take this and expand it next session. As you invite your friends to this that need this information, it'll help them walk steady in spiritual gifts. This thing will expand, and you'll be able to see it all put together as the weeks develop.